But that's how powerful your thoughts are. All I did was use some words, put some thoughts into your head, and all of a sudden, you're feeling it in your body. You're feeling it in your mouth. You're feeling it in a different area. And so every thought that we have sends little neurochemicals down into our body. And so it just kind of explains how thoughts are so powerful.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. Oh, my goodness. We've got a fascinating topic. And this isn't just for your diagnosis today. This is just a totally interesting topic that I haven't covered yet. And when I met our guest, Marla Williams, she's a life and business coach and the author of the brand new book called The Being, B-E-I-N-G, The Being Zone, and his companion, The Being Journal. I said, I got to have you on because it's such a fascinating topic. We're going to talk about, you know, when you have a diagnosis, when you have things going on in your life that maybe aren't the usual, and it's not that easy to be an employee. How do you strike out on your own and become successful? How do you know your entrepreneurial part of you? I have so many friends and colleagues, as well as myself, that do a lot of patient advocacy work and other things. And you know, if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I'm also self-employed in other industries. And so, yes, it can be done, even if you've got a diagnosis. So we're going to talk today about that, how to be successful in so many ways. And I'll quietly say, you know, off the side, not just in business, we're going to talk about systematizing your life as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. So welcome to the show, Marla. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You know, when we first met, I was like, what a fascinating topic. We talked about it a little bit, oh my gosh, several years ago, but it definitely at this time of pandemic, people getting laid off, other people saying, had it with that job, want something new, you know, going to change my life after that year kind of thing. I thought that would be fantastic to have you on. And congratulations on the amazing success of your new book, The Being Zone.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. And it's brought a lot of great things to my life. So yeah, big job to write a book.
It is, but it's well worth it. And one fascinating thing, just a side note, I haven't asked Marla this, so I'm just curious. I've met so many people that wrote books or did online courses or did other things during the pandemic. Was it the pandemic that sort of gave you the extra push to write the book?
No, I had written the book. It came out right before the pandemic. And so, no, it was, I had changed my own life from living a life of suffering with autoimmune issues to kind of getting to a point where I feel good almost all the time.
And, bravo!
Yeah. And so I don't believe inside me that it still exists. It's probably underlying in there, but I do a lot of the things that keep me in that really good space. And I wanted to share what I've learned and what I do with the world. And that was the impetus for the book, is where people can't afford to work with a coach one-on-one, I want them to get the information. I want them to get the tools. So maybe they only have one or two sessions with me to help them get over the hump, but turn your life around, because I think you and I talked about this, how I suffered for like 20 years trying to figure it out, right? And I kept never quitting. I'd get better. I'd figure out what would work to give me energy, what would work to make me feel good. And I'd start feeling good and I'd just go right back to what I was always doing.
Yes,
and then
I have to raise my hand on that. You know, we talked about that in our first meeting, and I have to raise my hand on that as well as many people I hear from. Like, you know, I was doing so good, and then either I slipped back into old habits or I cheated. And I know you've got some great ideas on these term repeating patterns, these unconscious patterns that we just let slip back into our process.
Right, right. I do, because that aha, when I realized that a lot of the times I was staying sick because I was doing it to myself, and I never really realized that what power our thoughts have, because that impacted what I did in life. I always said, oh, I have this to do and that to do, and I have my to-do list, and I always call myself the queen of multitasking. And when you
share that label.
Yeah, there you go. But when you're a task-oriented person like that, a type A personality, a get it done, always seeing how much more you can do, and a positive thinker, normally what I find is people with autoimmune are that. They're really driven. They have all kinds of goals. They have all kinds of things they want to achieve. Oftentimes perfectionists, you know, and want to do it right. And so you just keep, even when you're sick, you have to stop, because you might not be able to pull off what you could when you're well. Then you get well, and then you just do it to yourself again. So I did it multiple times over like a 20-year period. And when I finally, and along the way, I learned the lessons. I think you probably had the same story, as you learn a little bit, and what works for me doesn't necessarily work for everybody else. And so I just had to keep trying different things. So for example, I remember that my thoughts, depending on what was going on in my life, I'd call it a roller coaster. I'd see something good would be happening and I'd be really high. I'd start feeling well, or something would happen and I'd go low. So what I started to realize is I had a pattern of going from high highs to low lows, and a lot of it was based on my head. And when I saw myself on this roller coaster, I made a conscious decision. This was one of my first ahas. I made a conscious decision to try to not go as high, not try to go as low. And so every time something happened, I catch myself and I'd say, okay, I don't want to go down on this. I'm going to try to stay here. And actually thinking those thoughts kept me in a smaller, on a smaller roller coaster, a more manageable roller coaster, as the story goes. But that really helped. But again, just like you said earlier, is you kind of forget, and then you'll have your extremes. And then I catch myself again and go, I can't do that. I'm going to try to stay down. And it actually worked. That was my college years when I started doing this stuff that made me sick. And I'd get ulcers from worrying and that type of thing. But by doing that, it actually calmed my system, and just having that thought and stopping myself. Again, it's discipline. And so it's not easy. And that's kind of one of the strange ones. But I think the big story for me in the beginning, and then later it became more ahas, was when I went to work. And it was my first year. I was a new person in this fast-growing company. I was a leader. I worked with the owner. I founded the HR department. I led strategic planning and all the I was a natural leader. And so I was just so excited. I love my job. I do whatever it took. And so I just worked around the clock and had fun on this side, because I was newly married. And so you go home and you do have fun on your weekends or evenings. And I just kept pushing that hard, and to the point that I couldn't get out of bed one day. So that was my next big aha. And it's like my arms wouldn't lift up and my legs wouldn't lift up, and I could barely get the covers off me. And I thought, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Am I paralyzed?
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, no, I can move. I must have the flu. I must have some really weird flu. So I called in sick, which I rarely did, and got myself out of bed. But that weakness, the inability to move didn't go away. It kept staying. So it wasn't the flu. And that was the first of really a true autoimmune. At the time, this was before chronic fatigue was chronic fatigue. Finally, after four doctors, they diagnosed me with Epstein-Barr virus, which is underlying virus, right?
Mm-hmm. And isn't Epstein-Barr like mononucleosis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But they're all kind of related, and it's right. all just really, so basically I had no energy. So even though they diagnosed me, I asked what to do, and they said, this is in the 80s, and they said, go home and rest. I go, that's all I do. I can't do anything else. What do you mean go home and rest? That's all right. I'm doing. I need a solution. Well, the allopathic or the regular doctor didn't have solutions in those years. They said that it was in my head and that I just needed to not be so depressed. And I was the most positive person I knew. And I thought, depressed? I'm not depressed. Even though I've got this, I'm still trying to find, I'm positive. I know there's a solution. I know there's something that could happen. Well, they didn't have any. So I grinded my way to work every day and I'd get through my day and I'd get myself home and I wasn't doing other things because I had no energy. And all I kept saying to myself, these were my words, is all I want is energy. All I want is to have energy again, to feel like I used to feel. And one day I'm driving home from work, and this is 6-8 months in, where I'm still in this exhausted state. And I'm driving home from work, and the radio ad comes on, and it says, you can get energy. And I'm like, well, what? Come to our free yoga class tonight. I'm going, yoga gives you energy? And I was so excited. I went home from work and I go to my husband, honey, you have to drive me to Bellevue because I live in Washington. I didn't have the energy to drive the 10 miles to this class. And you need to drive me to this class because it's going to give me energy. And he goes, okay, anything that'll give you energy is good. So he was on board and he took me, and I had energy for the first time since I got diagnosed. From the first time since I was in bed and couldn't get out. And I'm going, what did that? And what it was, here's my philosophy, and I may be wrong, but I've done yoga ever since now, since 1984, I've been doing yoga. I believe it opens up your body. You know, I think that when you're tight and you're not feeling good and you're exhausted, you scrunch in your organs and everything doesn't work as well. By doing these yoga moves and opening me up, I actually, and I didn't understand that energy was in our body, but I use the words all the time, I just want energy. So it's really this whole energy concept that I got interested in at that point. But so I started feeling my legs with like movement or buzzing or tingling in them that I had not felt in a long time, because they just felt numb. Mm. They just felt empty, and felt it in my hands. And so I became a big yoga person, and I've done it ever since. And even just minutes of yoga a day now, because I don't do full practice like I used to, where I'd go so many days a week and be really intense. But I'll watch something online, or I'll just do stretches, yoga stretches, to open up what needs to be opened up to keep the energy flowing through my body. It was a game changer.
Yeah. You know, for me with yoga, and I, through the pandemic, I would do it with a gal online, which was really nice. It was a nice change. I think for me, a little easier to keep up than, as you said, having to drive somewhere. Although, what I noticed too, is it the stretch, the movements, it's not just the movements for me, but I think it gives my expands my lungs, or makes it easier for me to get deeper breaths. Yeah. Because if I get really busy, oftentimes I'm guilty of this. I notice, I think I've been holding my breath for the last 2 minutes or 3 minutes, or I'm like, that's so weird. I think, you know, all of a sudden it dawns on me, huh? And I'll stop and I'll take a few deep breaths, and you start to feel better, and then you get intense into your work or your writing or something like that.
And you hold your breath
again. You notice that I hold my breath again. And a friend told me, if you notice that the tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth, you're working too hard, you're concentrating too hard, and you're probably not breathing well if you notice that you've got your tongue pressed to the roof of your mouth. And I never thought about that other than now. I go, wow. Yeah. Now that I'm aware of it, I do it less and less. But it was interesting at the beginning, after she said that to me, I'm like, wow, I do that a lot. So I'm training my tongue to stay down into the little tongue place. Not so easy.
Yeah. No, it's not. And that is a really big piece, I think, of the autoimmune, is when you don't breathe deeply, at least to start your day or at different times during your day, because most people shallow breathe. And I've worked with thousands of clients now, and I've determined that to be very true, because when I first start working with them, have them do the deep breathing, they're like going, wow, I haven't done that in a long time. That feels really good. It's expanding your limbs. It's opening up your body, and it's allowing things to work right. And so it makes a difference. The other thing, when you're not breathing deep, the other thing that happens, especially if you think about the tongue, is your jaws start to get tight. You get a tightness. I used to have, like, they thought I had TMJ, and it's because I clench, because I wasn't breathing, because I'd be tight. You know, it's just all this. So the way I see autoimmune is we're tight. Yeah. And the more we get untight, whether it's through breathing or yoga. Okay, so when I first went to yoga, here was my favorite. In the beginning, it was the opening up. But once I started doing it to keep my stress down, you know how you spread your legs and you drop your head and your arms towards the ground? And I'd visualize all the stress, overwhelm, and tension flowing out of the top of my head like it was draining. And that was the best thing for a stressed out type A personality to just release, to just let it go. It was amazing.
Oh, it's nice, the visualization along with the moves. That's awesome to be able to recenter yourself like that. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that we've danced around a little bit of, and I'd like to know your thoughts on it, is I think a lot of people with autoimmune, and I'm always challenging myself with this, is you get to a place where, I'm going to use the words, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. Get to that place where, okay, it doesn't hurt as bad, or it, you know, I'm stronger than I was, or yeah. But you're not there wherever that mm-hmm. place is. And maybe that place is even healthier than you were before the diagnosis, because I'm not a scientist, guys, but just in all the people I've talked to in these last 7 years on the show and other places, I find a lot of people say the diagnosis had been years in coming. Yeah. That was, you know, so we can't say going back to the way it was before the diagnosis, because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, that wasn't so great either.
So writing my book helped me realize when in my life I made the shift from feeling light and feeling healthy and feeling really good into being what I call an autoimmune, having autoimmune illness, and I had a variety of them until I almost killed myself, but into that. When I was growing up, I grew up on a lake, and whenever I started to get stressed or overwhelmed, and in those days, we weren't pushing ourselves as hard. My parents, you know, if you did an activity, you did one. This day and age, you do music lessons, you do sports, you do leadership, you know, you do everything. And kids and families are pushed really hard to try to keep up with all the things that life throws at us. Well, we live more out in the country, so my parents weren't wanting to drive us to town, to school, to do all these activities. And so we all kind of got to choose one thing, if we even did that. But we had a lot more downtime. Just mm-hmm. like in the old mm-hmm. days, you know, you work really hard on the farm, but then you enjoy your evenings on the porch. And you were not just going into watching TV or getting on your technical stuff. So I had a very simple life, what I would say, growing up. And whenever I'd start to get stressed or felt there was too much, I'd go sit at the beach or on the dock. Just sitting in nature on the earth was extremely calming, and it would calm my system. Well, when you go to college and you start working, you forget to just take that time out and do nothing. We're not very good at doing, we're not very good at doing nothing, but I am now. That's what I've learned. And that's why I wrote The Being Zone. I've learned how to be, and that's really hard for a type A personality to learn to move from going and doing. We're human beings. We're not human doings, right?
Yeah, awesome.
And it's really hard to move.
Well, we need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what is the being zone, how do we find it, and how do we stay there? So we'll be right back. Okay.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Marla Williams. She's a life and business coach and a newly published author of The Being Zone and its companion, The Being Journal. And she's been sharing her story of going through the healing journey, I like to say of life, not just autoimmune, because I think it's a relearning of our of how to be. And her book, The Being Zone, gives us lots of tips and tricks and tools on that. So, Marla, and before we had to take that quick commercial break, we started to talk about being, and that you've, I guess the best word is systematized it. So let's give it just an overview of what that is, just to be. I think a lot of people are going, oh my gosh, I would love to, Sharon, but I've got, you know, binders and binders of to-do list.
Yeah. And that's the opportunity with most of us. And that's how my life was, is I always had long lists. And then when I had kids, it doubled or tripled. And so people go, I just don't have time. And my clients say that, I just don't have time to just be. So all I ask for and what I teach people is you can do it in 5 minutes a day. And once you get used to doing that 5 minutes a day, it gets easier to maybe do a little bit more later in the day or in the evening. But if you just build in pockets of being, so think about if you went to Hawaii for vacation and you're laying on a hammock under two trees, palm trees, and you can hear the ocean kind of going in and out. There's nobody on the beach. It's very serene. It's very quiet. That's kind of the being state that I'm talking about, is quieting your mind, quieting your body, and being extremely present in the moment. And when I first started all this work and used to get sick all the time, that's the last thing I wanted to do. My doctor recommended I read the book, Wherever You Go, There You Are by Jon Kabat-Zinn, which teaches meditation. I couldn't do anything, he said. I couldn't meditate. I couldn't quiet my mind. And so what I'd do is I'd sit down and I'd just say those words, wherever I go, there I am. Wherever I go, there I am. And I'd repeat it over and over to calm my mind, because I couldn't do what he described in the book. And I thought, well, meditation's dumb. I can't do that. Well, then I learned breathing gets you present. And so I started doing deep breathing, and that helped a lot. Going to massages always got me present, so I do a lot of that. But I think the big thing was starting to understand that my thoughts controlled it all. And so can I just walk you through a little exercise here?
Absolutely. Let's have some fun here.
Okay. So what I learned, and this shows you how powerful your thoughts are, and this is a simple thing. Many of you may have heard about it before, but it's called the lemon visualization. And so if you're not driving, you can close your eyes. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. You can still do this, but just imagine that you have this beautiful, juicy, big, large, wonderful lemon sitting in front of you, and you can smell it. You reach it towards your nose and you can smell that tart smell. You might put it on your cutting board, and then you just take your knife and nice sharp knife, and it just slices open, and all the juices run out. And then visualize that you're taking a taste of that lemon. Do you feel your mouth salivating?
Yes, but it also is sort of shrinking because it's tart.
Oh, right. There you go. But that's how powerful your thoughts are. All I did was use some words, put some thoughts into your head, and all of a sudden you're feeling it in your body. You're feeling it in your mouth. You're feeling it in a different area. And so every thought that we have sends little neurochemicals down into our body. And if I had done that with something sweet, if I had done the same thing with some wonderful chocolate, whatever, you'd still be tasting or feeling it. And so it just kind of explains how thoughts are so powerful, is that they send these little neural chemicals. And so when I got that aha, that my thoughts, and we have like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of thoughts a day, and actually most of them were programmed for the negative. Most of them are negative. And so the first step in my being is breathe, but learning to quiet the thoughts. Because when you can turn off your head on everything you have to do for a minute, and all your to-do lists and where you have to be and who you have to take care of, and you can just be present even for 5 minutes, it makes a difference to how your body and mind will go through the day. So the little tool, and I think I shared this with you earlier, that I want to teach everyone is a magnet and a bubble. So let's just take a deep breath in and get centered. And release your mouth. Again, a deep breath in. And release. When you breathe in, feel your belly expand, allow it to go out, filling your body with air, and just let it all go. So that puts you here and now. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to visualize that you have a bubble floating above your head, the type of bubble a child might blow. And in that bubble is a magnet, and it's the most powerful magnet in the world. And I want you to allow that magnet to pull out of you all your thoughts, your worries, your stress, your tension. If your jaw is tight, or your neck or shoulders are tight, or your back hurts, just feel it getting sucked up into that bubble, the magnetized up. That magnet is so powerful. It's just pulling it up and pulling it up and pulling it up. And that bubble keeps floating above your head. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger and darker as it fills with all that heaviness and tension and tightness and worry and stress that you don't need. So keep allowing that magnet to pull up anything and everything that does not serve you. Keep pulling it up and pulling it up and pulling it up and pulling it up and pulling it up. And keep pulling it up, and your body's going to start to feel lighter. Your neck, your head, your shoulders, your jaw, everything's going to start to feel lighter. And then I want you to visualize reaching up and touching that bubble, and that it's just going to float up and dissipate. And then take a deep breath. And come back to the present.
Lovely. Wow.
Did that work for you?
Yes, it did. I've never used a bubble or a magnet, so it was intriguing how powerful that was, as well as reminiscent of other meditations or visualizations. I guess that would be considered visualization that I've been through. Very powerful. Thank you. Brought me right back to, I noticed that I did unclench my jaw a little bit, even though we had just been talking about that.
And we do this when I call it the body tightening. And then we tend to keep ourselves in more of a sick or stressed state. When we do things like this, it loosens the body and allows it to work better. And then we get into a healthier state. This is in my own mind. I can't prove that scientifically, but that's how I believe it works, because I've been doing this now for a lot of years, since the 80s, and doing this type of thing. And I've realized that, and what I've learned along the way is our bodies are energy. And when, if you think about a wire and energy, if it gets crimped, it doesn't work right. Mm-hmm. So the same concept with our body, if we're tight, it doesn't work right. When we can stay in the being zone, it works better. So the first step was the breathing, the B step, and then the E step is energy. So we just took the heavy energy out, right?
Right.
Through a visualization.
Wow. When you said the wire crimped, I was thinking the other day I was watering my yard and my hose got you know, crimped. And yeah. All of a sudden I'm like, where'd the water pressure go? And then I had to look down the line. I'm like, it got caught on a branch, and I was like, wow. And then yeah. Go release it, and boom, off the water went everywhere. So it was
and that's exactly the same concept. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So now what I love about this one, especially, you could do it anywhere, anytime. I mean, grocery line, whatever. You could, I don't know how many seconds that took, but it didn't take long at all. You could do it anywhere, anytime. And
you can keep your eyes open. So when you start to get upset, or someone says something to you that sets you off, or you get a diagnosis, or anything happens, stop and use that. Stop and breathe and just pull out all the fear, and then come at it from what I call a heart-based place. Because when you learn to pull out the stress and learn to tune into your body and listen to your heart, because your heart's a brain, and your heart brain with your gut brain, which is a brain, you know how when you're like on a dark road at night, or somebody tells you something that's scary, or you see a scary movie, your gut clenches. Mm-hmm. It's like you actually clench. So your gut is a brain, is tied to your brain through the vagus nerve. And they're saying 90% of the messages go from your gut brain up to your head brain, then vice versa. So your gut's always communicating to your head to listen to it and to do things that are good for it. And so it's eating the right foods, it's drinking plenty of water, and doing things that keep your gut in better shape, because then your whole body will be in better shape. And then the heart brain, they're saying, is 60 times more powerful than your conscious brain, you know, your left and right creativity. And that when you learn to, so what I've learned is how to be quiet for a few minutes and how to listen to my body. And that's made a world of difference in my happiness and my health. And that is what I have focused on as I moved out of corporate America and started doing something that was based on my story and what happened to me, so I can make a difference in people's lives, just like you are doing. Learning to quiet those thoughts, that lemon, learning to quiet the thoughts or pay attention to what your thoughts are, and learning to tune into your body is what made a major difference for me. So my training after corporate America was actually in as an energy coach. And I learned, because the yoga experience taught me that energy was something and it was important, and to pay attention to it. And that's kind of where I got into more what I call energy healing and doing things like that. I can take you through, you know, so we just released all that tension. I can take you through another exercise that brings good energy into your body if you're interested.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Yes, okay. I was just sitting here enjoying this, what happened during the magnetic bubble. Let's bring some, refill the reservoir here.
Okay. Okay, so again, close your eyes and just visualize that you're a tree for a moment. You're a beautiful tree, whatever type of tree you love. And you're standing tall and proud out in your field. And I often see it as a tree at the top of a knoll and big grassy field. It's beautiful. It might be a palm tree for you, whatever type of tree you love. But visualize yourself as that tree. And I want you to feel the sun's rays coming down and beginning to warm your branches and your leaves. And in this case, your branches and your leaves are your head, your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your fingers. And I want you to feel those sun's rays coming down and warming them, where your head and your fingers and your arms and your shoulders might start to tingle from that warmth. And feel and allow those sun rays to flow down your trunk. Feel it warming your body all the way down through your core. Feel that warmth and the sun flowing all the way down into your legs, where they might begin to tingle and warm, all the way down to your feet. And that's where the roots of your tree flow out the bottom of your feet into the soft soils of Mother Earth, where they pick up her amazing energy. And I want you to feel that energy from the earth that gives life force to the earth and all the plants and animals. Feel that flowing back up into your bottom of your feet. And your feet are going to be able to tingle and warm from that earth energy. Feel that flow up into your calves. Allow it to move up into your thighs. That tingling, that warmth. Allow it to move up into your core, all the way up to your neck and head. And then feel that warmth and that tingling flow across your shoulders, down your arms to your fingertips. And then turn up the volume like you turn up the stereo and just resonate in that healing energy. Because what this is doing is taking your body from the tenseness into, after we've removed the heavy stuff, into more of a flow state, into the being zone. And just increase that volume and just resonate in that buzzing, that tingling, that warmth. Feel like it is healing every cell in your body. Visualize that this energy that's come from the earth and the sun are just flowing through your body, healing everything, and they're around your body. You're like in this beautiful pocket of healing energy. And then take a deep breath and come back out.
Wow, lovely. Pretty. I like that vision. Yeah, I love the vision of the tree. I had to stop for just a moment to figure out what was my favorite tree. I love all trees. So I was like, okay, what tree do I want to be today?
Yeah, and I change all the time. My favorite is usually the Madrona because they grow on coastlines and they grow out to the water, and I'm a big water person. So that's my go-to tree, but I often do other ones too. So that's fun. Oak trees are very strong. It's kind of what you need in your life. If you think about kind of the nature of a tree, you know, the oak trees are very solid and strong and they get big and they last forever. You know, the palm tree moves in the beautiful sway if there's light winds, and they're beach oriented too. So everybody has their own. Maple trees are beautiful. And yeah.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I was like, here I am just for a minute. The conscious mind is like discussing, okay, what tree?
Yeah.
We settled that and got on with it.
Yay. So that's the B and the E step in my being, getting you in the being zone. Those are my first two steps.
Fantastic.
My next step is the I step. This is, again, related to your thoughts. So you know how the lemon can do. You want to say what you do want, because usually what we do, and tell me if you do this, you wake up in the morning and you start looking at your to-do list. You either created it the night before, you're putting it on paper this morning, you're going, okay, I got to get this done, I got to get this done. So you go straight from waking into doing, right? And again, we're human beings, we're not human doings. And so I just ask for the 5 minutes where you breathe, you pull out the stuff, you bring in the good energy, and then you set your intention. And my intention is always around something as easy as, I intend for this day to go with ease and grace instead of stress or instead of pushing. Because when you push through the world, it's science, it pushes back. And so when you can set the intention to go with ease and grace, you tend to approach your day differently. So think about that for a minute. When you get up, do you kind of jump into doing? Or you may have practices now because you're getting good at this stuff. You might not be the best example.
I'll say I used to, and occasionally I do. It really depends on my calendar and whether I've gotten very... Right now, what I love about software is I don't have any... I just send people to my appointment software and I say, you know, find an appointment there that fits your schedule. Yeah. And that way I am not talked into, oh, but can't you do 6 a.m. because I'm, you know, in this time zone or whatever. I used to go, oh, yeah, I can get up at 4 a.m. for you. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. That's one thing I could say is getting to that place in your life where you're like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And that's good. And that kind of leads me actually into the next step, which is the N step, which stands for North, your true North. When you're doing something that feels right to you, like you're doing, and it fills you up to do it, and you're no longer trying to please everybody, which is what we tend to try to do, right?
Right.
But you're doing something, and the key is learning to manage how much you say yes to, which you've learned, as I've learned, because we're yesers and pleasers, right?
Well, it took a while to learn that no was a complete sentence, and I didn't have to, you know, give some excuse or think up some excuse or be socially acceptable about it. No is no. Why? Because it doesn't work for me right now.
I think that's the hardest word in the English language for people that get autoimmune. They never put themselves first.
Yeah.
They put everything that needs to be done. We do. We just go and do. I'm better at being now. And I moved in the process of all this learning out by, because I grew up on water and that's where I went when I needed to calm. So we moved where I have this 180 degree view of water now. And I just start my day on my deck, not in the middle of winter, but in the warmer months. I start my day on the deck doing these little steps I'm talking about, the five being steps. And it starts my day out right every single day. And then I'll just sit and I'll get a cup of coffee and I'll just sit and watch the birds and watch the waves or the currents and or the boats go by. It is when you start your day in calm, in the being zone, in peace, your day will always be a better day. And especially when you're setting intentions for what you want your day to look like, you're doing something that's very fulfilling. And for the end step of my daily work, I just repeat that I know I'm making a big difference in the lives of many people who suffer from the things that I used to suffer from all the time. And that just fills me up to the brim. And that increases my energy, right? Okay, last step.
Let's take a quick commercial break.
Okay,
everyone, let's enjoy, set an intention and understanding maybe what you want to take off your list too, as it's part of that intention as well. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Marla Williams. She's a life and business coach and the author of The Being Zone and its companion, The Being Journal. And she has transformed, as you've heard, her own life from one of stress and overwhelm and autoimmune illness to a life that she just loves and thrives in. And that's us here. It's all about thriving. And she's been sharing her tips for optimizing, for getting us past. Many of us know the things to do that we're told by our allopathic or our naturopathic or holistic people in our lives. But then there's another set that we haven't really thought about. And that's like, what part of it is our own thoughts that are keeping us stuck to getting to that optimized place we want to be? Let's quickly remind everybody what the BEIN is, and then we'll jump into G.
Okay. So the being steps, my five daily being steps that you can do in 5 minutes or less every single day are B, where you stop and breathe. You get centered and present. The E step, where you take out the heavy energy that's keeping you stuck and you bring in the good. So from the magnet in the bubble to the tree visualization, to the I step, where you set your intention on what you want your day to look like, what you want it to go. And I often, besides just the ease and grace, I tie it to my day. Like if I know I'm doing my radio show, I intend for my radio show to go with ease and grace and for people to really benefit from it, or whatever the case might be. Then the instep is your true north. And on that one, I just always confirm that I'm going in the right direction. Usually people's life story ties to what they're meant to do. So if you've suffered a lot, what your suffering has is meant to maybe be what you're meant to do and make a difference in the world with. And then the G step, the final step, is guidance. I trust something bigger than me. You don't have to believe in God. You can call it source or universe or whatever you want. But when I do that quiet, when I quiet, learn how to quiet my brain and just sit and be in the morning and do my five steps, when I finally get to that final step, I just quiet myself and I listen and I just ask, what am I meant to do today? What am I meant to hear? Who am I meant to talk to? And I just ask open-ended questions and I just sit with it. And I usually get a response. I usually get, yeah, follow that or don't follow that, because otherwise I chase every rabbit down the hole, right? We tend to go.
A lot of us tend to do that.
Yeah, whatever's coming at me, I try to follow. And that step, it makes the difference in whether, in keeping my life in balance and not trying to commit to too much. And I'm very, very good at now at listening, like I said, to my heart and gut brain. And when I'm asking for those guidance, I when I'm meant to do something, my body warms, or my heart warms, or I feel energetic. And when it's something that I'm hesitating on and I'm wondering, everything drains in me. Everything collapses more or feels colder. And that's when I say no. And because I get asked to do a lot of things and I just say no. And that's, like, we know the hardest word to learn to say no. But when you're doing it from an intuitive place, which is listening to your body, you know you're right. You know, and you never miss not doing it. It's just sometimes hard to say no because you're a pleaser. We're yes people. We want to make a difference.
The interesting thing I found out, though, is after reflecting, like, oh, I should have said no. And then you, let's say you go through with it. You're like, okay, I said yes. I've got to follow through. And then I've sat back and reflected and I'm like, yeah, that didn't go quite how I intended, or even though that I said, yeah, you know, I made the commitment and I followed through. It's never quite the same. As quality or the energy of it, whatever it is, it's never quite the same. So to me, it's really a gift when you say no and the no comes up as your inner guidance. It's really a gift to say no, because sometimes I've said yes to interviews or something like that. And part of me was like, is this really what you want to do? Or, you know, you kind of get, mine isn't always a voice. Mine is more of a feeling. So be yes. aware of how your body and your guidance talks to you.
Yes.
I'm using the word talk very liberally here, because, like, you may not hear it. But.
Right. And especially if you're not quiet in your mind, you won't hear it. And that's the key to this whole thing of learning to heal from being autoimmune all the time, is listening to what your body's saying. And that's what I call your intuition. I actually have tools that I teach people that have to do with your kinesthetically and your warm heart. Because when your heart warms, you want to follow it. When your heart cools, that's when you might say no. And learning to pay attention to what your heart's doing. Because if you're getting hesitation, it's usually cooling. If you're getting excited, it's usually warming. And so paying attention to your body, exactly like you're saying, is big.
Yes, because oftentimes people hear this, like, your body's talking to you. And they're like, yeah, well, I've never heard mine say anything. I'm like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It might be speaking a language that you're not tuning into.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. And I find that you can practice that in many ways. Oftentimes when I have a longtime massage therapist as well as a medical doctor. And oftentimes they'll say something to me and I will tune into my body. And let's just say my foot's being massaged. I'll go, oh, that's so fascinating. I feel that in my hip too. Mm-hmm. And that's just me kind of allowing myself to explore and train myself to listen to other things that are happening, not just paying attention to that my foot is being massaged, but going, oh, wow, I feel my, you know, and I'll say it out loud to my mm-hmm. therapist, like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't realize my foot could do that to my hip. How fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is, everything's so interconnected in the circuits that now Western medicine is agreeing that you have energy circuits in your body. That's what it's doing. It's not just the arteries and the veins and the muscles, but you're actually got energy circuits in there and pushing different parts of your body. It's like your whole ear. I don't know if you know this, but this is amazing for calming anxiety. If people have high anxiety, is what's it called? There's a name for this, but massaging different points in your ear actually calms your entire body.
Yes, and so actually, when you look at the, for my acupuncturist, he explained that the ear is actually looks like an upside down baby, you know, like a fetus baby, and that there are certain points in that ear. And I also learned from a hand specialist one time that actually your hands are extremely sensitive because as the fetus, the baby, are this very early stages, that the hands and the face are connected. And it's at a certain point of development that, you know, it all spreads into the different body parts. But I was like, wow, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, exactly. No, I love all this stuff. And I think you, like me, as we've gone through life learning so much and just incorporating what works for us. So yeah.
I think that's the key point too, is what works for us. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed, close to 350 people for the show, and everyone has some similarities and some differences, and try it. Like, nothing Marla said tonight is harmful. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like we're talking about taking, doing something really weird. It's all very helpful. And so try it, see how it works for you. And I suggest using her being journal, because then you can keep track. I don't know about you, and we started the show on this too. I can get into a habit and be feeling really great, and then I have to raise my hand on this. But, oh, I can cheat today. Yeah, no, I've learned not to do that. And by keeping notes, I can, if I do cheat, I can go back and remember, oh, when I was doing the being zone, that's when I, you know, was doing better. So I'm going to go back to that. What part of that am I skipping over or something? So
yeah. And even the busiest person in the whole world with all kinds of responsibilities can have those 5 minutes to do your being steps. But you're right. It's the cheating, the skipping of self-care is the number one reason I believe we keep doing that to ourselves, because everything else is more important than ourselves at that point. And when you make yourself most important, it's easy to build in the being steps, or to take time to go to a beach, or to take time to just be quiet. Like I couldn't meditate. So what I would do to take care of myself is I call it meditate by walking around. And so I just walked down the street, and it wasn't about exercise. It was about noticing the birds, smelling the plants, touching the different textures of the leaves in gardens or through the woods, right, on a trail. That would put me in what I'd call a meditative quiet state when I didn't know how to do that. That was my solution. But everybody's different. But I know I've worked with a lot of people with autoimmune, and most of them are like me, where it's hard to just stop and turn off. And
I think the thing that I've noticed, and we're just down to the wire here, but I think the thing that I've noticed is that some people, and this is for another show, but I just plant a seed. Some people seem to think like, oh, I'm being selfish. Mm-hmm. You know, if I take those 5 minutes to walk in nature, and I'm telling you, walking in nature is one of the quickest ways for me to get into a relaxed meditative state.
Yeah. There's a great movie out there called The Earthing Movie, worth watching to understand how powerful being in the woods. In Japan, they call it forest bathing. And then in the U.S., just being on the earth and being in the trees heals your body.
Marla, we're down to 3 minutes. We could talk forever. We'll have to have you back. But share with us some final thoughts, where we can find your book and where we can find out more about you and your amazing work.
Awesome. Thank you. So my book, The Being Zone and The Being Journal, are both on Amazon. And it's just Marla Williams, author, and you should be able to find them. And I do recommend, like you said, the journal too, because then you can keep track of everything and hold yourself accountable. And then the best website to go to is marlawilliams.net. And on marlawilliams.net, I have a lot of free meditations and free little things that you can access, and talks about how you can set up a complimentary coaching session with me, because I'm always, my first one is free for half an hour, to determine whether or not I can help someone because not everybody's a perfect client for me. So I always do a complimentary session. So that's marlawilliams.net. And just set up a free session if you'd like it.
Wonderful.
And believe me, I've been there.
Yes, wonderful. And you know, what's interesting to me that I just want to pass through my mind as you were talking about that is for Michael Port. And he has this wonderful saying that there are those you're meant to serve and those you are not, and that's okay. And I've always thought about that, not just in serving as a coach, but serving as whatever it is, however you're serving. And I guess we're back to that idea that knows a complete sentence. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to have you back, Marla, to get even deeper into some of this stuff. Everyone, that's Marla Williams. Her book is called The Being Zone, as well as the companion, The Being Journal. And have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.